I forgot all about Dad, and we totally paid the price for it. When me and Rowley got inside, we laid out all our candy on the kitchen table. The only things we could salvage were a couple of mints that were wrapped in cellophane and the toothbrushes Dr. Garrison gave us. I think next Halloween I'll just stay home and mooch some Butterfingers from the bowl Mom keeps on top of the refrigerator. November. Thursday. On the bus ride into school today, we passed by Grandma's house. It got rolled with toilet paper last night, which I guess was no big surprise. I do feel a little bad, because it looked like it was going to take a long time to clean up. But on the bright side, Grandma's retired, so she probably didn't have anything planned for today anyway. Wednesday. In third period, Mr. Underwood, our phys ed teacher, announced that the boys will be doing a wrestling unit for the next 6 weeks. If there's one thing most boys in my school are into, it's professional wrestling. So Mr. Underwood might as well have set off a bomb. Lunch comes right after phys ed, and the cafeteria was a complete madhouse as we practiced our moves. I don't know what the school is thinking having a wrestling unit. But I decided, if I don't want to get twisted into a pretzel for the next month and a half, I'd better do my homework on this wrestling business. So I rented a couple of video games to learn some moves, and you know what? After a while, I was really starting to get the hang of it, practicing on Rowley. In fact, the other kids in my class had better look out, because if I keep this up, I could be a real threat. Then again, I better make sure I don't get too good. This kid named Preston Mudd got named Athlete of the Month for being the best player in the basketball unit, so they put his picture up in the hallway. It read, P. Mudd, Athlete of the Month. It took people about 5 seconds to realize how P. Mudd sounded when you said it out loud, and after that, it was all over for Preston. Thursday. Well, I found out today that the kind of wrestling Mr. Underwood is teaching is completely different from the kind they do on TV. First of all, we have to wear these things called singlets, which look like those bathing suits they used to wear in the 1800s. And second of all, there are no pile drivers or hitting people over the heads with chairs or anything like that. There's not even a ring with ropes around it. It's just basically a sweaty mat that smells like it's never been washed before. Mr. Underwood started asking for volunteers so he could demonstrate some wrestling holds, but there was no way I was going to raise my hand. Me and Rowley tried to hide out in the back of the gym near the curtain, but that's where the girls were doing their gymnastics unit. We got out of there in a hurry, and we went back to where the rest of the guys were. Mr. Underwood singled me out, probably because I'm the lightest kid in the class, and he could toss me around without straining himself. He showed everybody how to do all these things called a half Nelson, and a reversal, and a takedown, and stuff like that. When he was doing this one move called the fireman's carry, I felt a breeze down below, and I could tell my singlet wasn't doing a good job keeping me covered up. That's when I thanked my lucky stars the girls were on the other side of the gym. Mr. Underwood divided us up into weight groups. I was pretty happy about that at first, because it meant I wasn't going to have to wrestle kids like Benny Wells, who can bench press 250 pounds. But then I found out who I did have to wrestle, and I would have traded for Benny Wells in a heartbeat. I got Fregley. Fregley was the only kid light enough to be in my weight class, and apparently Fregley was paying attention when Mr. Underwood was giving instructions, because he pinned me every which way you could imagine. I spent my 7th period getting way more familiar with Fregley than I ever wanted to be. Tuesday. This wrestling unit has totally turned our school upside down. Now kids are wrestling in the hallways, in the classrooms, you name it. But the 15 minutes after lunch where they let us outside is the worst. You can't walk 5 feet without tripping over a couple of kids going at it. I just try to keep my distance. And mark my words, one of these fools is going to roll right onto the cheese and start the cheese touch all over again. My other big problem is that I have to wrestle Fregly every single day. But this morning I realized something. If I can move out of Fregly's weight class, I won't have to wrestle him anymore. So today, I stuffed my clothes with a bunch of socks and shirts to get myself into the next weight class. But I was still too light to move up. I realized I was going to have to gain weight for real. At first, I thought I should start loading up on junk food. But then I had a much better idea. I decided to gain my weight in muscle, not fat. I've never been all that interested in getting in shape before, but this wrestling unit has made me rethink things. I figure if I bulk up now, it could actually come in handy down the road. The football unit is coming in the spring, and they split the teams up into shirts and skins. And I always get put on skins. I think they do that to make all the out-of-shape kids feel ashamed of themselves. If I can pack on some muscle now, it'll be a whole different story next April. Tonight, after dinner, I got Mom and Dad together and told them my plan. I told them I was going to need some serious exercise equipment and some weight gain powder, too. I showed them some muscle magazines I got at the store so they could see how ripped I was going to be. Mom didn't really say anything at first. But Dad was pretty enthusiastic. I think he was just glad I had a change of heart from how I used to be when I was a kid, when I thought muscles were gross. But Mom said if I wanted a weight set, I was going to have to prove that I could stick with an exercise regimen. She said I could do that by doing sit-ups and jumping jacks for 2 weeks. I had to explain that the only way to get totally bulked up is to get the kind of high-tech machines they have at the gym, but Mom didn't want to hear it. Then Dad said if I wanted a bench press, I should keep my fingers crossed for Christmas. But Christmas is a month and a half away, and if I get pinned by Fregly one more time, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. So it looks like Mom and Dad aren't going to be any help, and that means I'm going to have to take matters into my own hands, as usual. Saturday. I couldn't wait to start my weight training program today. Even though Mom wouldn't let me get the equipment I needed, I wasn't going to let that hold me back. So I went into the fridge and emptied out the milk and orange juice and filled the jugs with sand. Then I taped them to a broomstick, and I had myself a pretty decent barbell. After that, I made a bench press out of an ironing board and some boxes. Once I had that all set, I was ready to do some serious lifting. I needed a spotting partner, so I called Rowley. And when he showed up at my door wearing some ridiculous getup, I knew I made a mistake inviting him. I made Rowley use the bench press first, mostly because I wanted to see if the broomstick was going to hold up. He did about 5 reps, and he was ready to quit, but I wouldn't let him. That's what a good training partner is for, to push you beyond your limits. I knew Rowley wasn't going to be as serious about weightlifting as I was, so I decided to try out an experiment to test his dedication. In the middle of Rowley's set, I went and got this phony nose and mustache Roderick has in his junk drawer. And right when Rowley had the barbell in the down position, I leaned over and looked at him. Sure enough, Rowley totally lost his concentration. He couldn't even get the barbell off his chest. I thought about helping him out, but then I realized that if Rowley didn't get serious about working out, he was never going to get to my level. He gasped and sputtered, and I eventually had to rescue him because he started biting the milk jug to let the sand leak out. After Rowley got off the bench press, it was time for my set. But Rowley said he didn't feel like working out anymore, and he went home. You know, I figured he'd pull something like that. But I guess you can't expect everyone to have the same kind of dedication as you. Wednesday. Today in geography we had a quiz, and I have to say, I've been looking forward to this one for a long time. The quiz was on state capitals, and I sit in the back of the room, right next to this giant map of the United States. All the capitals are written in big red print, so I knew I had this one in the bag. But right before the test got started, Patty Farrell piped up from the front of the room. Patty told Mr. Ira that he should cover up the United States map before we got started. Mr. Ira said, "Nice catch, Patty." So thanks to Patty, I ended up flunking the quiz, and I will definitely be looking for a way to pay her back for that one. Thursday. Tonight, Mom came up to my room, and she had a flyer in her hand. As soon as I saw it, I knew exactly what it was. It was an announcement that the school is having tryouts for a winter play. Man, I should have thrown that thing out when I saw it on the kitchen table. I begged her not to make me sign up. Those school plays are always musicals, and the last thing I need is to have to sing a solo in front of the whole school. But all my begging seemed to do was make Mom more sure I should do it. Mom said the only way I was going to be well-rounded was by trying different things. Dad came in my room to see what was going on. I told Dad that Mom was making me sign up for the school play, and that if I had to start going to play practices, it would totally mess up my weightlifting schedule. I knew that would make Dad take my side. Dad and Mom argued for a few minutes, but Dad was no match for Mom. So that means, tomorrow, I've got to audition for the school play. Friday. The play they're doing this year is The Wizard of Oz. A lot of kids came wearing costumes for the parts they were trying out for. I've never even seen the movie, so for me, it was like walking into a freak show. Mrs. Norton, the music director, made everyone sing My Country 'Tis of Thee so she could hear our singing voices. I did my singing tryouts with a bunch of other boys whose moms made them come, too. I tried to sing as quietly as possible, but of course I got singled out anyway. Mrs. Norton practically shouted, "What a lovely soprano!" I have no idea what a soprano is, but from the way some of the girls were giggling, I knew it wasn't a good thing. Tryouts went on forever. The grand finale came with auditions for Dorothy, who I guess is the lead character in the play. And who should try out first but Patty Farrell? I thought about trying out for the part of the witch, because I heard that in the play, the witch does all sorts of mean things to Dorothy. But then somebody told me there's a good witch and a bad witch, and with my luck, I'd end up getting picked to be the good one. Monday. I was hoping Mrs. Norton would just cut me from the play, but today she said that everyone who tried out is going to get a part. So lucky me. Mrs. Norton showed the Wizard of Oz movie so everyone would know the story. I was trying to figure out what part I should play, but pretty much every character has to sing or dance at one point or another. But about halfway through the movie, I figured out what part I wanted to sign up for. I'm going to sign up to be a tree, because 1, they don't have to sing, and 2, they get to bean Dorothy with apples. Getting to peg Patty Farrell with apples in front of a live audience would be my dream come true. I may actually have to thank Mom for making me do this play once it's all over. After the movie ended, I signed up to be a tree. Unfortunately, a bunch of other guys had the same idea as me, so I guess there are a lot of guys who have a bone to pick with Patty Farrell. Wednesday. Well, like Mom always says, be careful what you wish for. I got picked to be a tree, but I don't know if that's such a good thing. The tree costumes don't actually have armholes, so I guess that rules out any apple throwing. I should probably feel lucky that I got a speaking part at all. They had too many kids trying out and not enough roles, so they had to start making up characters. Rodney James tried out to be the Tin Man, but he got stuck with being the Shrub. Friday. Remember how I said I was lucky to get a speaking part? Well, today, I found out I only have one line in the whole play. I say it when Dorothy picks an apple off my branch. I say, "Ouch." That means I have to go to a 2-hour practice every day just so I can say one stupid word. I'm starting to think Rodney James got a better deal as the Shrub. He found a way to sneak a video game into his costume, and I'll bet that really makes the time go by. So now I'm trying to think of ways to get Mrs. Norton to kick me out of the play. But when you only have one word to say, It's really hard to mess up your lines. December. Thursday. The play is only a couple of days away, and I have no idea how we're going to pull this thing off. First of all, nobody has bothered to learn their lines, and that's all Mrs. Norton's fault. During rehearsal, Mrs. Norton whispers everyone's lines to them from the side of the stage. I wonder how it's going to go next Tuesday when Mrs. Norton is sitting at her piano 30 feet away. Another thing that's screwing everything up is that Mrs. Norton keeps adding new scenes and new characters. Yesterday, she brought in this first grader to play Dorothy's dog, Toto. But today, the kid's mom came in and said she wanted her child to walk around on two legs because crawling around on all fours would be too degrading. So now we've got a dog that's going to be walking around on its hind legs for the whole show. But the worst change is that Mrs. Norton actually wrote a song that us trees have to sing. She said everyone deserves a chance to sing in the play. So today we spent an hour learning the worst song that's ever been written. It's called We Three Trees. Thank God Roderick won't be in the audience to see me humiliate myself. Mrs. Norton said the play is going to be a semi-formal occasion, and I know there's no way Roderick is going to wear a tie for a middle school play. But today wasn't all bad. Toward the end of practice, Archie Kelly tripped over Rodney James and chipped his tooth because he couldn't stick his arms out to break his fall. So the good news is, they're letting us trees carve out armholes for the performance. Tuesday. Tonight was the big school production of The Wizard of Oz. The first sign that things were not going to go well happened before the play even started. I was peeking through the curtain to check out how many people showed up to see the play, and guess who was standing right up front? My brother Roderick, wearing a clip-on tie. He must have found out I was singing, and he couldn't resist the chance to see me embarrass myself. The play was supposed to start at 8 o'clock, but it got delayed because Rodney James had stage fright. You'd figure that someone whose job it was to sit on the stage and do nothing could just suck it up for one performance. But Rodney wouldn't budge, and eventually, his mom had to carry him off. The play finally got started around 8:30. Nobody could remember their lines, just like I predicted, but Mrs. Norton kept things moving along with her piano. The kid who played Toto brought a stool and a pile of comic books onto the stage, and that totally ruined the whole dog effect. When it was time for the forest scene, me and the other trees hopped into our positions. The curtains rose, and when they did, I heard Manny's voice.
"Bubby!"
he cried. "Great. I have been able to keep that nickname quiet for 5 years, and now all of the sudden, the whole town knew it. I could feel about 300 pairs of eyeballs pointed my way. So I did some quick ad-libbing, and I was able to deflect the embarrassment over to Archie Kelly by loudly stating, "I think you dropped an apple, Bubby." But the major embarrassment was still on the way, when I heard Mrs. Norton playing the first few bars of We Three Trees. I felt my stomach jump. I looked out at the audience, and I noticed Roderick was holding a video camera. I knew that if I sang the song and Roderick recorded it, he would keep the tape forever and use it to humiliate me for the rest of my life. I didn't know what to do, so when the time came to start singing, I just kept my mouth shut. The other two trees sang, "We three trees from yonder glen." For a few seconds there, things went okay. I figured that if I didn't technically sing the song, then Roderick wouldn't have anything to hold over my head. But after a few seconds, the other trees noticed I wasn't singing. I guess they must have thought I knew something that they didn't, so they stopped singing too. "Do spy a maiden fair and sweet." Now the three of us were just standing there, not saying a word. Mrs. Norton must have thought we forgot the words to the song, because she came over to the side of the stage and whispered the rest of the lyrics to us.
"Whilst we are rooted to our spots, she doth move on lighter feet."
The song is only about 3 minutes long, but to me it felt like an hour and a half. I was just praying the curtains would go down so we could hop off the stage. That's when I noticed Patty Farrell standing in the wings, and if looks could kill, us trees would be dead. She probably thought we were ruining her chances of making it to Broadway or something. Seeing Patty standing there reminded me why I signed up to be a tree in the first place. So I threw an apple. Bullseye. Pretty soon, the rest of the trees started throwing apples, too. I think Toto even got in on the act. Somebody knocked the glasses off of Patty's head, and one of the lenses broke. Mrs. Norton had to shut down the play after that, because Patty can't see 2 feet in front of her without her glasses. After the play was over, my family went home together. Mom had brought a bouquet of flowers, and I guess they were supposed to be for me, but she ended up tossing them in the trash can on the way out the door. I just hope that everyone who came to see the play was as entertained as I was. Wednesday. Well, if one good thing came out of the play, it's that I don't have to worry about the Bubby nickname anymore. I saw Archie Kelly getting hassled in the hallway after fifth period today, so it looks like I can finally start to breathe a little easier. Sunday. With all this stuff going on at school, I haven't even had time to think about Christmas, and it's less than 10 days away. In fact, the only thing that tipped me off that Christmas was coming was when Roderick put his wish list up on the refrigerator. Roderick's wish list read, 1, new drums. 2, new van. 3, shrunken head. I usually make a big wish list every year, but this Christmas, all I really want is this video game called Twisted Wizard. Tonight, Manny was going through the Christmas catalog, picking out all the stuff he wants with a big red marker. Manny was circling every single toy in the catalog. He was even circling really expensive things like a giant motorized car and stuff like that. So I decided to step in and give him some good big brotherly advice. I told him that if he circled stuff that was too expensive, he was going to end up with a bunch of clothes for Christmas. I said he should just pick 3 or 4 medium-priced gifts, so he would end up with a couple of things he actually wanted. But of course, Manny just went back to circling everything again, so I guess he'll just have to learn the hard way. When I was 7, the only thing I really wanted for Christmas was a Barbie dream house. And not because I like girls' toys, like Roderick said. I just thought it would be a really awesome fort for my toy soldiers. When Mom and Dad saw my wish list that year, they got in a big fight over it. Dad said there was no way he was getting me a dollhouse, but Mom said it was healthy for me to experiment with whatever kind of toys I wanted to play with. Believe it or not, Dad actually won that argument. Dad told me to start my wish list over and pick some toys that were more appropriate for boys. But I have a secret weapon when it comes to Christmas. My Uncle Charlie always gets me whatever I want. I told him I wanted the Barbie dream house, and he said he'd hook me up. On Christmas, when Uncle Charlie gave me my gift, it was not what I asked for. He must have walked into the store and picked up the first thing he saw that had the word Barbie on it. So if you ever see a picture of me where I'm holding a beach fun Barbie, now at least you know the whole story. Dad wasn't really happy when he saw what Uncle Charlie got me. He told me to either throw it out or give it away to charity. But I kept it anyway. And okay, I admit, maybe I took it out and played with it once or twice. That's how I ended up in the emergency room 2 weeks later with a pink Barbie shoe stuck up my nose. And believe me, Roderick has never let me hear the end of that. Thursday. Tonight, me and Mom went out to get a gift for the Giving Tree at church. The Giving Tree is basically a Secret Santa kind of thing, where you get a gift for someone who is needy. Mom picked out a red wool sweater for our Giving Tree guy. I tried to talk Mom into getting something a lot cooler, like a TV or a slushy machine or something like that. Because imagine if all you got on Christmas was a wool sweater. I'm sure our Giving Tree guy will throw his sweater in the trash, along with the 10 cans of yams we sent his way during the Thanksgiving food drive. Christmas. When I woke up this morning and went downstairs, there were about a million gifts under the Christmas tree. But when I started digging around, there were hardly any gifts with my name on them. But Manny made out like a bandit. He got every single thing he circled in the catalog, no lie. So I'll bet he's glad he didn't listen to me. I did find a couple things with my name on them, but they were mostly books and socks and stuff like that. I opened my gifts in the corner behind the couch because I don't like opening gifts near Dad. Whenever someone opens a gift, Dad swoops right in and cleans up after them. I gave Manny a toy helicopter, and I gave Roderick a book about rock bands. Roderick gave me a book, too, but of course he didn't wrap it. The book he got me was Best of Lil Cutie. Lil Cutie is the worst comic in the newspaper, and Roderick knows how much I hate it. I think this is the fourth year in a row I've gotten a Lil Cutie book from him. I gave Mom and Dad their gifts. I get them the same kind of thing every year, something that says number one dad and number one mom. But parents eat that stuff up. The rest of the relatives started showing up around 11 o'clock, and Uncle Charlie came at noon. Uncle Charlie brought a big trash bag full of gifts, and he pulled my present out of the top of the bag. The package was the exact right size and shape to be a Twisted Wizard game, so I knew Uncle Charlie came through for me. Mom got the camera ready, and I tore open my gift. But it was just an 8x10 picture of Uncle Charlie. I guess I didn't do a good job of hiding my disappointment, and Mom got mad. All I can say is, I'm glad I'm still a kid, because if I had to act happy about the kinds of lame gifts grown-ups get, I don't think I could pull it off. I went up to my room to take a break for a while. A couple minutes later, Dad knocked on my door. He told me he had my gift for me out in the garage, and the reason it was out there was because it was too big to wrap. And when I walked down to the garage, there was a brand new weight set. That thing must have cost a fortune. I didn't have the heart to tell Dad that I kind of lost interest in the whole weightlifting thing when the wrestling unit ended last week. So I just said, thanks, instead. I think Dad was expecting me to drop down and start doing some reps or something, but I just excused myself and went back inside. At about 6 o'clock, all the relatives cleared out. I was sitting on the couch, watching Manny play with his toys, feeling pretty sorry for myself. Then Mom came up to me and said that she found a gift behind the piano with my name on it, and it said, From Santa. The box was way too big for Twisted Wizard, but Mom pulled the same big box trick on me last year when she got me a memory card for my video game system. So I ripped open the package and pulled out my present. Only this wasn't Twisted Wizard either. It was a giant red wool sweater. At first, I thought Mom was playing some kind of practical joke on me, because this sweater was the same kind we bought for our Giving Tree guy. But Mom seemed pretty confused, too. She said she did buy me a video game, and that she had no idea what the sweater was doing in my box. And then I figured it out. I told Mom there must have been some kind of mix-up, and I got the Giving Tree guy's gift, and he got mine. Mom said she used the same kind of wrapping paper for both of our gifts, so she must have written the wrong names on the tags. But then Mom said that this was really a good thing, because the Giving Tree guy was probably really happy he got such a great gift. I had to explain that you need a game system and a TV to play Twisted Wizard, so the game was totally useless to him. Even though my Christmas was not going that great, I'm sure it was going a whole lot worse for the Giving Tree guy. I kind of decided to throw in the towel for this Christmas, and I headed up to Rowley's house. I forgot to get a gift for Rowley, so I just slapped a bow on the Lil Cutie book Roderick gave me. And that seemed to do the trick. Rowley's parents have a lot of money, so I can always count on them for a good gift. But Rowley said that this year he picked out my gift himself. Then he brought me outside to show me what it was. From the way Rowley was hyping his present, I thought he must have gotten me a big screen TV or a motorcycle or something. But once again, I let my hopes get too high. Rowley got me a big wheel. I guess I would have thought this was a cool gift when I was in the third grade, but I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with one now. Rowley was so enthusiastic about it that I tried my best to act like I was happy anyway. We went back inside, and Rowley showed me his Christmas loot. He sure got a lot more stuff than I did. He even got Twisted Wizard, so at least I can play it when I come up to his house. That is, until Rowley's dad finds out how violent it is. And boy, you have never seen someone as happy as Rowley with his little cutie book. His mom said it was the only thing on his list that he didn't get. Well, I'm glad someone got what they wanted today. New Year's Eve. In case you're wondering what I'm doing in my room at 9 o'clock p.m. on New Year's Eve, let me fill you in. Earlier today, me and Manny were horsing around in the basement. I found a tiny black ball of thread on the carpet, and I told Manny it was a spider. Then I held it over him, pretending like I was going to make him eat it. Right when I was about to let Manny go, he slapped my hand and made me drop the thread. And guess what? That fool swallowed it. Well, Manny completely lost his mind. He ran upstairs to where Mom was, and I knew I was in big trouble. Manny told Mom I made him eat a spider. I told her there was no spider, and that it was just a tiny ball of thread. Mom brought Manny over to the kitchen table. Then she put a seed, a raisin, and a grape on a plate and told Manny to point to the thing that was closest in size to the piece of thread he swallowed. Manny took a while to look over the things on the plate. Then he walked over to the refrigerator and pulled out an orange. So that's why I got sent to bed at 7 o'clock, and I'm not downstairs watching the New Year's Eve special on TV. And that's also why my only New Year's resolution is to never play with Manny again. January. Wednesday. I found a way to have some fun with the big wheel Rowley got me for Christmas. I came up with this game where one guy rides down the hill and the other guy tries to knock him off with a football. Rowley was the first one down the hill, and I was the thrower. It's a lot harder to hit a moving target than I thought. Plus, I didn't get a lot of practice. It took Rowley like 10 minutes to walk the big wheel back up the hill after every trip down. Rowley kept asking to switch places and have me be the one who rides the big wheel, but I'm no fool. That thing was hitting 35 miles an hour, and it didn't have any brakes. Anyway, I never did knock Rowley off the big wheel today. But I guess I have something to work at over the rest of Christmas vacation. Thursday. I was heading up to Rowley's today to play our big wheel game again, but Mom said I had to finish my Christmas thank yous before I went out anywhere. I thought I could just crank out my thank you cards in a half hour, but when it came to actually writing them, my mind went blank. Let me tell you, it's not easy writing thank you notes for stuff you didn't want in the first place. I started with the non-clothes items because I thought they'd be easiest, but after two or three cards, I realized I was practically writing the same thing every time. So I wrote up a general form on the computer with blanks for the things that needed to change. Writing the cards from there was a breeze. Dear Aunt Lydia, thank you so much for the awesome encyclopedia. How did you know I wanted that for Christmas? I love the way the encyclopedia looks on my shelf. All my friends will be so jealous that I have my very own encyclopedia. Thank you for making this the best Christmas ever. Sincerely, Greg. My system worked out pretty well for the first couple of gifts, but after that, not so much. Dear Aunt Loretta, thank you so much for the awesome pants. How did you know I wanted that for Christmas? I love the way the pants looks on my legs. All my friends will be so jealous that I have my very own pants. Thank you for making this the best Christmas ever. Sincerely, Greg. Friday. I finally knocked Rowley off the big wheel today. But it didn't happen the way I expected. I was trying to hit him in the shoulder, but I missed, and the football went under the front tire. Rowley tried to break his fall by sticking out his arms, but he landed pretty hard on his left hand. I figured he'd just shake it off and get right back on the bike, but he didn't. I tried to cheer him up, but all the jokes that usually crack him up weren't working. So I knew he must be hurt pretty bad. Monday. Christmas vacation is over, and now we're back at school. And you remember Rowley's big wheel accident? Well, he broke his hand, and now he has to wear a cast. And today, everyone was crowding around him like he was a hero or something. I tried to cash in on some of Rowley's new popularity, but it totally backfired when they found out I'm the one who broke his hand. At lunch, a bunch of girls invited Rowley over to their table so they could feed him. What really ticks me off about that is that Rowley is right-handed, and it's his left hand that's broken, so he can feed himself just fine. Tuesday. I realized Rowley's injury thing is a pretty good racket, so I decided it was time for me to have an injury of my own. I took some gauze from home, and I wrapped up my hand to make it look like it was hurt. I told everybody, "It's a raging infection caused by a splinter that was left untreated." I couldn't figure out why the girls weren't swarming me like they swarmed Rowley, but then I realized what the problem was. See, the cast is a great gimmick because everyone wants to sign their name on it, but it's not exactly easy to sign gauze with a pen. So I came up with a solution that I thought was just as good. I walked up to a girl and said, "Would you like to be the first one to sign my sympathy sheet?" That idea was a total bust, too. My bandage did end up attracting attention from a couple of people, but believe me, they were not the type of people I was going for. Like Fregley. Monday. Last week, we started the third quarter at school, so now I have a whole bunch of new classes. One of the classes I signed up for is something called Independent Study. I wanted to sign up for Home Economics, too, because I was pretty good at Home Ec 1. But being good at sewing does not exactly buy you popularity points at school. Anyway, this Independent Study thing is an experiment they're trying out at our school for the first time. The idea is that the class gets assigned a project, and then you have to work on it together with no teacher in the room for the whole quarter. The catch is that when you're done, everyone in your group gets the same grade. I found out that Ricky Fisher is in my class, which could be a big problem. Ricky's big claim to fame is that he'll pick the gum off the bottom of a desk and chew it if you pay him 50 cents. So I don't really have high hopes for our final grade. Tuesday. Today we got our independent study assignment. And guess what it is? We have to build a robot. At first, everybody kind of freaked out, because we thought we were going to have to build the robot from scratch. But Mr. Darnell told us we don't have to build an actual robot. We just need to come up with ideas for what our robot might look like and what kinds of things it would be able to do. Then he left the room, and we were on our own. We started brainstorming right away. I wrote down a bunch of ideas on the black